I want to talk to you this morning about the church being one body made up of many parts. 1 Corinthians 12. We were in 1 Corinthians 12 last week. We're just going to pick up where we left off. One body, many parts. Have you ever lost function of a body part? We got one in a sling over here today. We've got people on crutches. You have, many of you have lost use of a body part, from hopefully temporarily, shoulder, knee, foot. How does it affect the rest of your body? It does. What happens when you get a sore back? And I know some of you are the same vintage and you experience the sore back, right? With me, I get tired all over. Just tired. And some would say grumpy. You know, it just a thing, but it affects everything else. What do we call it when someone loses a limb or loses the use of their limbs? Probably lots of medical words for that, but one of the things we call it is a handicap, right? It's a handicap. It's a limit of performance, diminished performance, and the rest of the body has to try to make up for that loss. It may severely limit physical activity. And some of you, even recently, have had organs removed from your body because of disease in the organ that was so severe, had to be removed. I've heard over and over from people who had a gallbladder problem, sickest I've ever been in my life. Painful. Now, I looked it up just to make sure I understood. Gallbladder is a little bitty sac about the size of your thumb, if everything's going right. Just a little sac that holds fluid to dump into your digestive system to help digest. But when it goes wrong, oh my goodness, the whole body is sick to the point that you're done. And often it has to be removed, and then you probably need medicine to compensate. When a part gets dysfunctional or quits, the body suffers. There are many, many body parts. Some are more critical to sustaining life than others, but every part is important for the proper function of the body. All those parts form one body. And the body is not complete without all its parts. There is a loss of function if any part is missing or dysfunctional. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he used the body as an analogy for the church. In the church, there are many parts which come together to form a whole. We've seen a little bit of that already this morning, haven't we? I mean, kids' message, volunteer music team, people praying, grace-giving testimony, all these different things going on, different ministries, different people. All the parts need each other to come together and make a healthy church. And every Christian is part of the body of Christ. Every born-again believer is part of the body of Christ. And every Christian needs to be in fellowship with other parts in order to form the body. And we've talked about it often recently, about the global or universal church and the local expression of the church. And we are that, the local church. One body, many parts. Let's read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by or in or with one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We'll stop there for a moment. One body has many parts which form one body. And the body of Christ is like this, he says. Now, it's popular for us to say we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We sing that, right? We're the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's true. Our feet need to take us into the world. Our feet need to take us where we need to go to serve the Lord. Our hands need to be doing the work of Christ on earth, serving people. The families that need help, children that need a home, folks that need a house. And you all do that. And church, we need to be the voice. We have to be the voice of Christ. How can anyone know the Lord unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone speaks? In Paul's analogy, there are many parts with different functions, different gifts, talents, different levels of visibility. And he stressed that every part is important to the function of the body of Christ on earth. God designed his church. God designed this. He bestowed it to his son to rule. And he pulls all the parts together in his spirit. We, the body parts, the individual Christians, are baptized into one spirit. And the spirit brings all of the parts together to form one body. We are a local expression of that. We are a local church, which is part of the global church. Let me ask you this. Can we have people from different nations or different ethnicities in the same church? Of course. It seems pretty obvious, even here, right? How many different languages could there be in the same church? Can we have different languages spoken in the same church? How many different kinds of ministry could there be in one church? Could we have liberal thinkers and moderate thinkers and conservative thinkers all in one church? That might be pressing it a little bit, I don't know, especially in these political times. Paul wrote, "We are baptized in one spirit." I think the ESV says, "In one spirit we are all baptized." Or we're all baptized, but he put the in the Greek, the spirit is first. It's the most important part of the sentence. One spirit. And then he says, whether you're Jew or Gentile. Now, in Paul's time, his thinking, that was the division of people. You're either Israel or you're not, right? You're either Jewish or you're Gentile. That was the divider. And Paul spent his whole life. Now, he was brought up to believe that everything had to be Israel. And if you wanted to know God, you had to become Jewish. But you remember, God met him on the road and changed his mind, and he spent the rest of his life teaching that we're all the same in Christ. And so to him, that was the big... And then he had slave or free. You understand the difference between being a slave or being free. What he's showing, two extreme or four extremes, just to illustrate, it doesn't matter where we come from. But we, when we are in Christ, we are one in spirit. It's a miracle. This really is miraculous work, that a group of very diverse people who might not normally even associate with each other come together in unity of purpose to carry out the work of Christ. Sometimes it goes off the rails. Have you seen it? If you've been around church much, you've seen it. You've seen it go off the rails. That always is a result of a body part or some of the parts taking wrong action or having wrong attitudes. That's how it happens. That's how we go off the rails. But the miracle is that most of the time it works. And it's beautiful. It's fun. It brings joy. And this unified body helps bring sinners to a loving God who wants to redeem them. That's what we do. Now, in my limited world travels, and I would say they are limited, especially compared to some of you, but I have found it extremely fascinating to meet other believers in other parts of the world and immediately know a common bond. And some of you have had that experience. Maybe many of you have had that experience. Sometimes even with language barriers or cultural barriers, just an immediate sense that we're on the same journey, we represent the same God. It's incredible, and it happens because we are every believer is indwelled with the same Spirit of God who makes us one. The Holy Spirit takes all of the parts. Once Jesus has washed away our sin, once he has redeemed us, the Spirit takes all those parts and he seals us with the mark of Christ. He gifts us, he brings us together to form one whole body of Christ. And in the local experience, a church. And we're meant to be saturated with that Spirit. We're meant to be indwelled and filled with the Spirit. We drink of the same Spirit. Now, here's a little rabbit chase. I acknowledge it may be a little bit off topic, but I hope you find the connection. Scripture tells us that God brings one man and one woman together, a husband and wife, to form a new unit, right? A one that brings two people together to form one unit. The two become one, and that's true. It is a miraculous work of the Spirit and the same God who created us male and female that brings us together to form that bond, that unified bond. He also warns us about the consequences of separating that bond. And do you remember from Paul's writing that the family is meant to reflect the church? The bond of the family is meant to reflect the bond of the church. Just as the family must be one, so the church must become one body. Unity is not an accidental theme in God's design, you see. He is unified himself. There is one God, and we know him in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, coming together to form one God. Now, as we think about the different parts of the body, and Marcia could tell us how many muscles and bones and organs there are, but I just know there's a bunch. And when one of them goes wrong, we get sick. But you know, all analogies and metaphors break down if you take them too far. But I want to tell you, Paul takes this one a ways. He carries this one on for a while, and he gives us lots of examples and illustrations, and that's what we're going to read next. Some of it stresses the importance of the whole. Some of it stresses the importance of the parts of the whole. But from verse 15 through 26, we'll read several of his illustrations about the parts of the body. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, this is an important verse, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And I remind you, his emphasis is on the body of Christ, the church, rather than the physical body. He wasn't trying to teach anatomy. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain each of those illustrations. I think Paul does it pretty adequately there. I was listening to Alistair Begg preach from this section, and he said, why would a guy have to write such silly detail? A head can't do without the feet. And he said something like, can you imagine a head just trying to take itself down the street? Why would a guy have to write such silly detail, except that he was writing to a broken church? And if this whole letter tells us that he was writing to a broken church, why was this preserved and is in our Bible today? Because sometimes we break. And there's a lot of good advice here on how to be the body of Christ. God arranges all these parts into one body. As he calls us to himself, he arranges the parts. He combines all these parts into one body, and therein lies a tremendous miracle. And it's said there that he is sovereign. He places the parts where he wants them to be. We read last week in verse 4 of the same chapter that there are different gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. We are one body, the body of Christ, baptized into one Spirit. And we need to finish the chapter. Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. Paul just restates his thesis there. There's one body, there are many parts. He mentioned some new gifts of the Spirit that he did not introduce in the first part of the chapter. And he ranked three of them, apostles, prophets, and teachers. But he did not do that to bring any disparage or dishonor on the less noticeable gifts, or less noticeable people, or less noticeable ministries. He made it very clear, we bring honor to where honor needs to be. We suffer with each other. We celebrate with each other. Just a little tidbit about yesterday. When we first met yesterday morning with this group of people that we didn't know very well, they were wanting us to clap and do cheers. If you know me, you know how well I responded to that. And I had to give myself a little talking to. It's okay. It's okay. We could, you know, it's okay to actually show excitement. People tell me all the time, be happy. I said, well, I am happy. I'm happy as I ever been. We're different. God makes people different, and it's marvelous. I bring verse 31 to your attention, the last sentence of verse 31. In some of your Bibles, it's probably under the heading of the next chapter. Keep in mind, Paul didn't use chapter numbers or verse numbers. He was just writing a letter. But this verse is a transition. It's a link from one thing to another. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. And then he moves on to explain the necessity of love. And that's next week's sermon. I'm not going to try to preach that today, but we will next week. The necessity of love in the body of Christ. Love is the great equalizer. The cowboy movies will tell you that Samuel Colt was the equalizer, right? No. Love is the equalizer. Church, we are not identical. We're not meant to be identical, carbon copies of each other. We do not need to work at acting the same or sounding the same or looking the same. We do not all need the same haircut or same uniform or same tattoo. Some of you said yes. Some of you said why not? We do not need to think alike on everything. We must agree on the gospel. We must. It's simple. But we can have discussion, and we can have diversity in ministry and methods, and we must. We need different kinds of folks. You might have noticed that our whole world is mixing and changing, and Taylor County's changing in ways we really didn't know before and maybe haven't planned on. Maybe we have to do some different things, but we will not stray from the core of the gospel. If we were all preachers, who would listen? I thought some of you would laugh. We're brought together, we're made into one, a unified body by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. It's His work. It's what He does. It is God's plan, God's Spirit, His church. And we get to be a part of it. So go. Go. Be His church to carry out the work of Jesus Christ. Pray with me as the music team comes.